Hey everyone, welcome back to the Breaking Western podcast. We are in season two talking to influencers or influential people within the Western industry. Today is no exception. Abby laughs because I say that every time, but it's so true.
But it's true.
It's true. We have Randy Quartieri on the phone. If you don't know his name, you certainly know
his work.
Oh my gosh.
Incredible. Iconic.
Yes, yes. Let's get into it. Let's talk about it. Randy, how are you?
I'm great. What an intro. Wow.
We like to think we were maybe rodeo announcers in another life.
That's just, we're kind of like slowly working up towards something big. Thank you for noticing.
Oh, great. It makes me feel special.
Oh, we love that.
Love that. We're just here to be everyone's hype crew. Yeah.
So we're looking at your background to start off with. You are, and this is so funny because it's always for younger people, but you're retired from bull riding, right?
Yeah, thank God. I rode bulls for 13 years.
Wow.
You know, it just wasn't going my way. I dealt with a lot of injuries, and I always had a passion for creating and filming and documenting. And so, yeah, it just led me to holding a camera for a living now. So that's my life, and I love everything about it.
I love how you understate that. You're like, I hold a camera for a living.
That and the bull riding,
13
right?
13 years.
13 years in a great career. Not just, you know, he got on some bulls for a couple seconds, but a really accomplished career of bull riding.
I'm just thinking. Yeah. So like, ooh. So, but 13 years, that's a long time. And so you must have started this really young.
Yeah, I started riding bulls when I was 12 or 13 maybe. And okay. You know, I didn't grow up in a rodeo background. My dad rode bulls a little bit when he was younger, but I was never exposed to it as a kid. I grew up in the mountains of northern New Mexico, and I snowboarded and skated. That's pretty much what my life was. And I just asked my dad, I was like, hey, can I get on a bull? He finally let me, and I was just hooked from there. Got to go to high school rodeos. Well, I started out in Little Bridges Rodeos and went all over Colorado and then went to high school rodeos. Got a scholarship to Odessa College and rodeo there for the best, Jim Watkins. He's like the best coach that I could ever have asked for. And what was so cool about him is he was actually a coach for Ty Murray, Jim Sharp, the Creos. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty special to go rodeo for him for 2 years.
Wow.
And it was just a wild ride. It was a great experience. I got to meet some unbelievable people. And, you know, one of my favorite moments of actually riding was a buddy of mine moved down from Canada, Ty Pozzebon, and we just kind of clicked from there and just started rodeoing together. I ended up moving up to Canada for a while and went to all the bull ridings up there, and yeah, it was just a wild ride, and I would not trade it for the world.
Wow. So as you're doing this bull riding, are you at that point in time, like, is it going through your head as they're playing the music over the loudspeaker? Like, hell yeah, this is my song. I wish somebody would capture this with music and angles. And like, was that taking over
you're
in
like
your mind
playing
already?
Your life as a movie all as you're writing?
Yeah, all the time. I was like, man, this industry is not getting it. They need to have someone documenting this all the time. And just, like I said, like, I grew up skating and snowboarding, and I would get fired up just watching edits before I'd go snowboarding or skating. And I'd never seen any of that in the Western industry. I was just like, man, there's a huge opportunity here. And so I always, like, had it in the back of my mind when I stopped riding, I was going to go full-blown and just do what I think what would work in the industry. And when I decided to finally quit riding bulls, I was like, well, let's try it. And so I just, Weston Rakowski, the bullfighter, he actually was my first paid gig for actually a bullfight. And he just came and said, hey, I'll pay you X amount of dollars to come shoot this. And that was it. Like, I was like, this is it. This is what I truly want to do. And I have not looked back since. I mean, it's been, I think, 4 or 5 years now that I've been doing this full time.
That's amazing.
And it's just, it's crazy. I never imagined in a million years to think where it's been. Where it has taken me and led me, and yeah, it's just, it's wild. It's so crazy. It's all been happening so quickly, really.
Yeah, and what did that transition look like? Like, how quickly did it happen between, okay, here's my first paid gig, because obviously at that point you're not full-time, And then to take right. that into, okay, this is my living and I'm going to stop doing everything else because of this.
Yeah, so it took a while. So I was building metal buildings at the time. And just on the side, like, I would try to go video as much as I could, whether it's for free or whether it's paid gigs. I was trying to just master my craft as much as I can. And so after about a year, I started picking up bigger jobs and everything. And so I just said, okay, I'm got to go all in. And my family thought I was crazy. my girlfriend at the time was like, what are you talking about? Like, you're not going to be able to make a living doing this. And I was like, yeah, I am. Like,
you're like, listen, haters are my motivators.
Yeah, I was like, I remember telling my mom, I was like, just watch. And she would just shake her head, you know, and I knew she wanted the best for me. But I was never like a man of security. Like, I was a freaking bull rider.
I was going to say, you were
yeah. Like, I had $8 in my account. I had $5 in my account here. Like, it never mattered to me. Money was never my motivator. It was always I wanted to do what I truly was passionate about, and then the money would come eventually. And so I just tried to work as hard as I could, and I still do it to this day. Like, I study films. The best advice I can give someone that if they're trying to video right now is go on YouTube and just watch as many videos as you can and learn as much as you can. I mean, that's where I learned everything, YouTube. And I just kind of put it in the real life scenarios, and it's all trial and error.
God bless you. I love that. I mean, I have goosebumps here listening to you talk about that. Like, do what you're passionate about, do what you love, and the money will follow. Like,
because if you're chasing money, you're never going to.
Yeah. Yeah, you won't win. Yeah. No. You're setting yourself up for failure because, I mean, I just see so many people doing 9-to-5 jobs, and there's nothing against 9-to-5 jobs, but it's just not for me. But there's so many people that are just miserable, and they almost turn into zombies, and then they're just running off of emotions, and then they're lost as what their purpose is. And I hate seeing that in someone's eyes when, you know, there's so much potential for everyone out there. They just got to find it and take off with it and truly believe it. I mean, it might sound cliche and like all bullshit, but that's real talk. I mean, if you really are passionate about, if it's freaking crocheting or TikTok videos, like, do the best that you can at it and you will win no matter what. You don't have to do it for anyone else but yourself. And yeah, if you keep the goals in line, that's all that matters.
Damn.
To me, at least.
That is so good.
But that's it, right? That's the essence of life. I feel like people always use that phrase, like, stay in your lane as a bad thing. But when you think find about it, like, find carve your lane, hit out. It hard.
Yeah.
And, you never know where that road is going to lead you. And you're a perfect example of that. Like, look at you right now.
Well, and I think, you know, he's a great example of that wasn't even an option for a job, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're a pioneer, nobody else has done that before, right? So, like, there's nobody you're looking up to, maybe in the film industry, but
you're writing the rule book.
Yeah, you're not taking somebody else's job. You're creating your own. So, of course, people are going to think you're crazy because they're like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. I get stares. And, I mean, there's a lot of people that have been in production with a PBR or PRCA for so long. And it's just funny to me, like, and I can read people pretty well, I guess, and they just have no clue how I'm doing what I'm doing. And but it's just everything is changing, and you can't, like, things are going to change the next year or two, and I got to innovate myself to play the game still, you know? Like, I can't get comfortable, and a lot of people are just like, well, how are you making money? Like, how are you going to support your family? And it's just like, you guys just got to go out and get it. Like, it's out there. It's out there for everyone. And you know, I never thought I would be, like, right now I'm working on a project with Yeti, and it's just like, it blows my mind every day when I wake up. And I'm just like, I'm actually getting to create something for a brand that, I mean, it would have taken, I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like, wow, like, a guy that never went to film school has been doing this for 4 years or 5 years is now creating content for major brands. I mean, I had contracts with Monster. I've done stuff with Wrangler and Levi's, and it's just like, wow, like, what's next, you know? It's a perfect example of just, like, don't freaking quit. Just keep pushing and keep moving forward. And there's been so many times when I wanted to give up and I wanted to quit because I had imposter syndrome where I was like, I'm just a fake. I'm a phony. I'm not, no one's going to think, believe me, I'm just faking it until I make it or whatever. But once I dropped all that crap and I just like found my voice and I figured out like, I'm just doing this for me. And if the major brands want to work with me, cool. If they don't, whatever. I'm just still going to be me. I'm going to still have my camera and I'm going to be creating whatever I want to create and however I want to do it. So
I'm going to hold up my Yeti coffee cup right here and cheers to that because that's awesome.
And that's I think that's a huge roadblock for so many creatives, that imposter syndrome, that thought that, like, okay,
we were just talking about this.
What am I even doing? And the second, like you said, the second you let go of that, things, amazing things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, like, I worried about what other people thought of me so much for too long, and it just held me captive. I was like my own prisoner in my own body. Mm-hmm. And everyone else is dealing with their own shit, you know, like, and a lot of us don't even talk about it. So once I started like being vulnerable with people and like sharing things that I was dealing with, it just set me free. And then it was just like a total game changer in my life. And I was just like, okay, here we go. Now I truly believe in myself. And I think that goes for everyone. Once you truly believe in yourself, I mean, watch where you'll go. Like there's no limits. I mean, sky's not even the limit. Like, we are so powerful. Like, you girls are, like, so powerful. There's no limits on what we can do. Like, it's, and I limited myself almost my whole entire life leading up to what I'm doing now. And I just got exhausted. I was tired. And I was like, man, enough is enough. I'm ready to do me. And let's go. And that's when things started unfolding for me.
I think we wait for permission a lot. And especially in the rodeo industry, like a bull rider really can prove himself in about 8 seconds. You either stayed on or you didn't. And some of these other tracks are like, it's day in, day out of a grind. And people see an overnight success, but there's years and years of late nights and hard work and blood, sweat, tears, literally, to get anywhere. Uh-huh. And you deal with, you know, you're not always successful. And so you have these huge highs. And then after that, you're just like lowest of lows. Bottoming because out. How do you do something better than that? And that is just so real. And I think the second, like you said, the second you open up to people about that, you realize that everybody else is also experiencing that.
So Randy, was there then a moment or did something ever happen for you in your life? Like that switch went off, something clicked where all of these lessons like came into focus and you were able to drop all of this weight that you've been carrying with you and just live your life the way you wanted to?
Yeah, a good friend of mine, his name is Todd Pierce. He's up in Idaho. He used to be a bareback rider, and now he's a minister for, he goes to prisons all over the United States. Mm-hmm. And he invited me on a prison tour, and I was just dealing with some things in my life. Like, I wanted to just go get a regular job, and I mean, he would just look at me and like, I could tell that he was sincere and like, he was like, he just spoke truth into me and like, and said that everything's okay. No matter what I've done in the past, no matter what I'm doing right now, like that doesn't define who I am. And like all the, it's like, I don't know. It's like I was carrying around a backpack full of bricks and there's, and like the bricks represented like all my emotions, my identity, my shame that I was carrying, or like just the imposter syndrome. I was like, I'm a phony, I'm a fake. Like, I'm just like forcing my way into this industry. And then once I just like let go of all that and I trusted what he was telling me, and I being vulnerable was the key to my freedom, and sharing things that I didn't necessarily want to share with people. Like, this might not even have anything to do with video, but like, I'm just a regular human, you know. I deal with crazy stuff in my life. And I just had to dig it up and be vulnerable with people that I trusted. And once I did that, I realized, like, hey, we're just like everyone else. But we carry so much power once we can really see our full potential. And I don't know, going to those prisons and seeing some guys in there and just being in that like, mindset with Todd, like, it changed how I see things and how I see people. Like, I really don't judge people. This I mean, I guess we're getting on a way different topic here, but like the way I see people and the way I see life is a whole new way than I ever have before. And I'm just so thankful to have these opportunities to have a camera in my hand, but it's bigger than a camera. Like I get to go video some of the greatest athletes in the world and share my story with them, and they get to share their story with me. And so that's what I live for. You know, that's my gas. That's my fuel for moving forward, is just being able to be in people's powerful people's presence and just have that energy and feed off of it, and then just move forward. And that momentum just carries me to the next level. And then I keep going. And it's just like a drug. It's like a natural drug that I don't ever want to get away.
And that's such a beautiful, this has been running through my mind since you said it, a beautiful analogy that like those bricks that we carry with us that can either be a weight or those can be our building blocks. And so really you know, that's not off topic, because that's what makes us who we are. Yeah. And that's what gives you your unique perspective on the world and allows you to tell other people's stories in such a powerful way that resonates with everyone. Because really what you're doing is you're showcasing that like thread of humanity that runs through all of us. Because really you watch your videos and you can like feel that adrenaline. And you know, Angela nor I have never ever been on a bull.
Well, speak for yourself.
Okay.
We ride the hell out of a drop barrel, I will say that.
We digress. But you watch that and you're like, damn, you feel like you're right there. Like that rope is in your hand. You're in that chute. You're getting, you know, like that dust is flying up around you, and it's like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's helped me in this industry now. Like now, like I've put my hand in a rope. I felt it. I rode, and now I get to share what I lived through a camera in a whole new way. You know, like I was filming the other day at a bull riding, and I just got in the arena while they're bucking. Like I've never seen a camera guy just like right there in the mix, and I got the sickest shot I've probably ever had in my entire life, and I'm just like, man, like, this is so badass, like this is what I get to do.
You're like, I just did that.
Yeah, like I was like jacked up. It's like I was just 90 points.
So Randy, then do you think that being self-taught has helped you in developing this really specific style, or this kind of like fearless approach that is so different than everyone else?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I always wanted to find my little style, you know, like I've seen so many people doing stuff, and I tried to emulate people for a long time, but I was just like, man, it's not me. It's not fulfilling to me. And so, yeah, I'm just running and gunning, and like if I'm able to pave a way and help other creators along the way, that's like the perfect reason why I'm here. You know, I'm seeing a lot more now pick up a camera in this industry, and I'm just like, hell yeah, this is what we need. You know, like we need
amazing.
A camera guy or a crew at every rodeo, at every PBR, every barrel race, every goat rope, and I don't care. Like if we want the Western industry to grow, we can't be on a treadmill anymore. We got to keep growing, and we got to showcase. We got to be more modern. We got to, and still tie into the grassroots, the tradition. You know, we never want to stray away from that, but like, let's get it. Like we got to make this cool. We got to make it exciting for our future to be invested in it, you know, like, and that's what I seen when I first got into this game, and I was just like, man, this is what we got to do. This is my mission, and I'm not looking back. You know, I'm just, and the more that I pick up my camera, the more I go out there, I find something new to do. Like, I'm always trying to innovate myself. I'm always trying to be better, and I don't know. That's my goals.
That's what it's all about.
Damn. So going back to you first starting, as you're getting into this, obviously you have the experience from the competitor side, but what did you find as you were coming into this videography that was a barrier to entry? Obviously, like, super expensive equipment. How do you have access to, like, getting behind the chutes or in the arena, underneath the bowl, wherever you're at? What did you kind of find was, like, your challenges as you're getting into it?
Yeah, so definitely equipment. You know, I didn't have a pot to piss in when I stopped riding bulls. You know, I mean, my girlfriend was paying my damn cell phone bill. Like, I couldn't even... it was kind of embarrassing, you know, but I bought a camera, and I just started using what I had, and this is crazy, but like I had a 2005 Monte Carlo, and I was driving to the Iron Cowboy in Dallas, Dallas Stadium, and I had just bought a, you know, have you heard of those gimbals that you can put your iPhone on, and it's like you're floating, like you put your iPhone on this thing and it's like you can run with it.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
So I bought one of those and I snuck into Cowboy Stadium and I, and you know, I know everyone, so like they're kind of just like, oh hey, how's it going?
And so I snuck in the locker room. You're like, I'm definitely supposed to be here.
I stayed in the locker room for like maybe an hour, just waiting until the intro was over, and I just went and I started filming stuff. So I pretty much forced my way in and I started sending it to people that I knew in the industry. I started sending it to agents, brand reps, and you know, and it took a long time for me to earn their trust, I guess. Like, obviously, it wasn't the quality that I'm up to now, but for whatever reason, Sean Weesey with XC Sports, and he's an agent for JB Mooney. He owns a brand called Dexel. Really great guy, and he actually wrote me a check for $5,000 to buy new equipment.
Wow, amazing.
He believed in me so much. He said, and he didn't expect anything in return. He just said, man, I believe in you. Here's $5,000. Go buy you whatever camera you want. So I went and bought a camera. I bought a drone with it. And I actually still am using that same camera today. I mean, I have other cameras that I use for other jobs, but I still have that camera. And it's been a wild ride. And the business aspect of it, you know, I wasn't very good at business and handle and organization. And so it's taught me how to be accountable of everything going on in my life and making sure I'm getting deliverables on time, and actually the whole industry, like knowing how to edit and how to export right, and if it's going on CBS and then I need to get it a certain way. So there's so much that I'm still learning along the way, but yeah, it's been wild. I guess I don't know, it's all crammed up into one little box, but yeah, it's, I'm still learning, you know, like it's this Yeti project has been wild. And I hired a whole crew for it, and now I'm having to go up to Montana to reshoot some things. So, I mean, there's always variables. There's always things like, what's next, you know, but that's, I love that. You know, I love it. It gives me that kind of, it's almost like getting back on a bull, you know, and you never know what's going to happen.
It's, I mean, that's amazing too, because really, we talk about this a lot, that hustle phase is not,
it's not
pretty.
Not cute.
And people love to tell that story afterwards. Like you said, just put it in that little box and be like, here's all the adversities I went through. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
But you think back to living in it and you're like, yeah, that wasn't a great moment
that
when
sucked.
Someone else was paying for my cell phone. I didn't love that. So how did you get to this level where you're really doing like promoting and marketing for the rodeo industry as a whole?
So I think what really helped me was, you know, Dale Brisby, he's like the comedy legend in the industry. I actually, you know, he reached out to me and I started doing videos with him, and I owe a lot to him only because I was able to learn at my own pace with no pressure, no like corporate pressure, I guess.
Mm.
So I got to work with him for 4 years and still be able to do my own thing, but he allowed me to just be completely free. I had freedom of all the creative control, and I got to learn at my own pace, and that was such a huge blessing to me because I had no pressure whatsoever. Whatever I put out, like, he's like, oh yeah, that's good, let's put it out. You know, whether like I'm working with like a contract with Monster and I send in an edit, and I mean, I had one time I had to do like 13 re-edits for a project. I'm like, damn. Maybe I'll just go back and work with Dale. But,
I think I quit. Yeah.
I tried.
But it was a good journey. Like, I'm not with Dale anymore. Like, I'm off doing my own thing. But definitely with being with him and kind of learning at a really reasonable pace for myself, it helped me turn into the man I am today for sure, and how I handle my company and my business.
That's so good. So Abby and I's relationship is, I would put that in that kind of a box where you do different things creatively. You both have your own journey, but you're crossing paths, and you're, you know, however long that path crosses, you're able to really help each other out. So talk to us a little bit about what that looked like relationship-wise, working with someone that is so creatively, you know, has their own strengths. You have your own strengths, but you're able to build each other up. I know for Abby and I, you know, she's making me clothes. And same thing where I'm like, oh, I don't know anything about clothes. This looks freaking awesome. Let's go to the NFR in it. And I'm going to sing in this suit and I'm going to tell people about it. So tell us a little bit about like relationships, whether Dale or otherwise, but you know, friendships and relationships crossing with working together.
Yeah, it was actually really great working with Dale, only because how creative he is and just his mindset and the decisions that he makes. Like, he's actually a brilliant man. Like, he's, when you have a conversation with him, you're like, wow, like, I kind of want to hang out with you all day just because you kind of fire me up and you almost ignite the creative side to me.
I love how you say that. Like, I'm actually, he's very smart.
Really, really, really smart.
I'm imagining him in his videos with the pillow and shirt.
Yeah, but it was cool. Like, we got to wake up and just dream and then go create. And that was our life for 4 years, every single day, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, like, we did not have days off. But, I mean, we were having fun. And I think that's what made everything so special. And, you know, and working with Sean Weesey, you know, he's landed me a bunch of jobs with Monster and a big jobs with the Western industry, and you know, just him believing in me is just, I can't ask for anything better than that. When someone's behind you 100%, like, that's one of the greatest feelings you could feel. And I mean, then you don't, because I mean, I doubted myself. I'm doubting myself today. Like, I'm thinking about the projects that I got to do, you know, but like, when I have people in my life and in my corner that lift me up, and I think that's what we're all here for, to build each other up. And that's what community is all about. And so I'm super thankful for all the friends I have and everyone that, you know, lifts me up and says that my work is great, because I'm my hardest critic. You know, I don't like anything that I put out. You know, I'm always waiting for that perfect project, but will I ever get that perfect project? I don't know, maybe, but I think that's what drives me to keep creating and get better. But yeah, everyone along the way on my side is just, I can't thank them enough. It's been, I definitely could not have done it alone.
That's so important to have those people in your corner, not just the people who support you when you need to lean on someone, but really the people, like you said, who are pushing you to be more creative or to just be your best self and put your best work out there.
Yeah.
So what was the first video that really got people's attention? Because you've mentioned like a wide array of work. So when you had that first video that really took off or went viral, did you know that it was something special, or were you surprised?
You're like, that sucked.
You're like, well, whoa.
So
whoa.
I had about maybe 15 videos that I did before anyone knew I really videoed, and I deleted them all because I was so embarrassed by it.
Oh, no.
I wish I did it now, because they were pretty badass. I had a video of me, so this might seem like a crazy story, but I went to a flea market and bought two roosters.
I love where this is going already.
There was a song called Gallo del Cielo.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
And so I made a video of me training these roosters like I was fighting them. And I think it got like 2 million views. And then when I met my wife now, I met her and I was like, if she sees this, she's not going to want to marry me.
This is like TikTok before TikTok. And you were like, no, yeah. No one can know.
So, yeah, that was... I had a lot of traction off that, and people started like, okay, this guy's funny. Like, and I did one of me mowing my lawn to like this dubstep song. And it went crazy. And I wish I still had those, but they're gone forever.
No.
But in the rodeo world, I think it was the Bulls of the West and really getting the BFO started, and just started, because that's what I initially started in the Western industry, started filming all the bullfights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I drove all the way to Salinas, California in my Monte Carlo that blew up on me. But, yeah, I drove out there for $70.
Wow.
Amazing.
And, you know, all the bullfighters, they didn't have anything to pay me, but they rounded up $70 to pay me.
Oh.
And I went and filmed the bullfights there. But I was willing to do whatever it took to, just because I knew deep down if I kept pushing forward, it would work. And yeah, it did. So.
Wow.
I'm just at a loss for words. That's what we're both sitting here looking at each other like, oh. Incredible.
But it's people valuing your work with what they have.
Right. Like, and really that $70 thing, that means so much more than, yeah.
than
yeah. a bunch than of money.
Than somebody that has money and mm-hmm. can give you a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't necessarily help when you're like trying to eat.
Yeah, it also
something.
Doesn't pay your bills, so.
Looking back on it, you're like, wow, how sweet.
Yeah, I was like, thanks. This tank of gas and a donut.
Incredible. Well, I'm looking forward to, I'm hoping now that someday you like remake the rooster
video. I know,
video,
I'm
just
still
like
thinking
in all your,
about the
in all your free time.
I know. Yeah. If I get some free time, I'm going down on the rooster for sure. I'll have to get a new video. And it'll be way, I'll probably just get a whole production crew to come film it. So like we can throw it on Netflix.
Oh my gosh. That would be amazing. Randy, the first video of yours that I saw was your video for Ty.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm just so curious to, you know, that really brought it home for you and made it really personal for you. Was that project something that you really wanted to do? Was it something that you just were inspired to do? Or tell us a little bit about that.
So the day that I made a couple for him, and it was like super hard to make, obviously, right?
Right.
So
right.
The day that his mom called me and told me that he had passed away, I rushed to San Antonio to get a flight straight up to British Columbia, and my plane couldn't leave until the next morning. And so I was like, what can I do? Like, mm-hmm. what can I do to honor him in the best way that I know how? And so I didn't want to just put a phone in front of my face and talk about how good he was. Like, I literally just wanted to showcase as quick as I could because of the circumstances. And I made the video in the hotel room before I would fly out. And I just tried to round up as much as I could, like, knowing, like, where you could see his personality and you could see, like, some of the accomplishments he did. And, you know, I just put it together and I didn't care who seen it. Like, I just did it for me mostly, but it ended up going crazy. I think it got a lot of traction, but that was probably the toughest one I ever had to make, but probably one of my, it'll go down in the record books as my favorite one, only because I feel like I got to honor him in a really good way.
Mm-hmm. I would totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And just thank you for that, because I ended up writing a song because of that, and that totally changed my career too. And so I'd like, that really does inspire people. Even, you know, I didn't know Ty, a lot of us didn't know him, but through your work, I always say, like, we all knew somebody, we all know someone. And that really told that story so, so well.
And what a beautiful way to allow his legacy then to live on in the lives of other people, you know, when that happens, and we never truly lose someone, because they continue to walk with so many of us and live in our hearts and our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's awesome.
And talking about people that, like, were totally on my side, that dude changed my perspective on life for sure. Like, when he came down to college, he was like a magnet, just the energy and the kindness that he carried with him was just unreal, and I'd never experienced that. So, like, a lot how I live my life today is totally reflective of who he was, and, you know, and he always believed in me. Like, he, you know, I struggled with bull riding throughout my career, and, you know, he got to, you know, we were riding at the same events, and he got to go ride at the Built for Toughs at the time, and he always was trying to lift me up, and he's like, man, you need to be here, you need to be with, you know, like, you're better than most guys that are riding here right now. And then we actually started Another Perfect Day together. He was actually 50% partners in the production company and the t-shirt company. And so, yeah, it was just, like, so crazy that everything happened the way it did. But, yeah, I owe him a lot of credit. Like, he threw down and believed in it that much to where he wanted to be a partner of it. So, yeah, it was pretty special.
you definitely need those people too that are like, you know, maybe we can't see the whole picture right now, but I'm ready to invest in you and walk with you during this journey. It's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
So looking forward now, all of your projects, we talk about this momentum and that your project to project is gaining momentum.
Working with bigger brands.
Yeah. I mean, who's bigger than Yeti and Monster? And yeah.
Great question.
But what do you see as being next?
So I want to move more towards like being a creative director where I don't even have a camera in my hand. Like, I don't mind having a camera in my hand, but I think with my vision and how crazy my mind is at when we're on a shoot, like, I think my strengths would come in directing. And so that's where I really want to lean more towards. Like, I will never stop filming, obviously, but if I want to move on to do like commercial work or short films or documentaries, whatever, I think I want to take that role in directing and have my own little crew. And so I've been kind of playing around with it the last year and hiring some directors of photography and sound engineers and trying to just experiment that whole game. Because I'm like, I really don't know much about it, but I think the best way to do it is just go for it. And so that's what I'm hoping to do. But as of now, I'm just going to keep kind of putting one foot in front of the other and seeing where it leads. But the more I'm seeing, like, the brands that I'm working with, the more I see that coming to fruition and me being able to take that kind of lead and hopefully create, like, another Perfect Day into, like, a creative marketing agency where I have a whole bunch of team players where we can go tackle multiple projects at once where I'm not trying to do everything on my own.
I see a lot of Abby in you that she'll be like,
I'm so sorry she said that to you, Randy.
But she'll be like, okay, so I have this idea for a photo shoot. We're going to have these butterflies and I already ordered them. And we have 1,000 in the mail right now. And then we're going to do this with it. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
She looks at me. I'm like, be a supportive friend for one goddamn minute. She's like, I just can't see it. I can't see
it. Like, Abby, I don't get it. And then when I see the finished product, I'm like, oh damn. Like, I could have never dreamed, like, this creation she made for me for the NFR last year. We call it the Patsy Pantsuit. And it's this sky blue bell bottom. There's 24 feet of fabric on the bottom of this thing. And I had no idea what her vision was, but when I put it on, I cried. And I said to her, I won't feel like this again in an outfit until my wedding day. And I was just, had an emotional experience because of this. I'm like,
yeah,
wow.
That's trust.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
But I so, that's like funny, from that perspective, I so respect people like you, Randy, who just like, who have that vision. And even when people don't get it, you're like, I'm going to do it.
Oh yeah. And it's been it's super tough, especially in the Western industry. Like, I love everyone in the Western industry, but there's a lot of people that have given me eyes like, dude, who are you and what are you doing? Like, come on. Like, but I'm just like, just trust me. I'm not going to make you look bad. Like, I promise you.
Well, see, especially when you're new on the scene too, like, that can be a hard sell. Like, you're new to video, but also more or less, like, in terms of being in the Western world, also fairly new. Like, your family wasn't deep into it. You were a new bull rider, and here you are like, yeah, I'm also going to make these badass videos.
What that you've never seen from anyone else. Yeah. So you have no frame of reference. Amazing.
Yeah, my wife laughs at me all the time. Like, the other day, like, I posted a video on my Instagram. Like, I just get crazy sometimes, like, during the day. I'm like, oh, I see this thing in my head. So I just had to go outside.
The golf one.
Over our fence, and I had my golf clubs, and I was just like, all right, let's just mess around. Like, let's make a Saturdays are for the girls video. And I had her grilling with a grill. I had her, like, just stupid shit, but it came out pretty cool and, like, unique. And she's just, like, the whole time, like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I was like, you just gotta trust me, all right? Like,
just stand there.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The standing is good.
I think we watched that right before we hopped on this
call.
We did. And
we were
both
like, that's cool.
She is the cutest. Like,
and we love your relationship is one of the best things we've ever seen. We're like, nobody loves each other more.
Yes, like the appreciation. Oh my gosh. Goals.
Yeah, she's awesome. Like, it's pretty awesome with her. Just, like, she's actually, like, one of my, like, really my first girlfriend I ever had. And
sweet.
You know, and just, she's pretty special. She's totally a, she's the glue, and she's the, I'm the face of this company. She's the motor for sure. Like she definitely does not get enough credit for what she does behind the scenes. And yeah, she's amazing.
Oh, we love it.
Shout out. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, Randy, we are so thrilled to have been able to talk to you today. I think we're going to be riding this high for a long time. Like, my heart is just bursting with some of the things that
well,
you left
you
us with.
Thank you guys so much, yeah.
Where can everybody find you online?
I spend most of my time on Instagram these days, so I think my Instagram handle is just Randy Quartieri. So, and I have a website being built right now. It's not ready, but I answer all my messages on Instagram, so if anyone ever has a question, just shoot me a message, and I love to chat.
He really does, even for us.
That's one thing. I try to answer everybody. You know, I try to give everyone the time of day because, I reach out to a lot of people throughout the week, like, that I really idolize, and I expect an answer back. You know, I don't always get an answer back, but when I do, then I invest more into whoever I'm following, you know. So I think that's really important, man, to keep that engagement up and not be too good for school, you know.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, Randy, thank you for your time. We so appreciate getting to talk to you. And I mean, you have to go work for Yeti now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for carving out like some time in your day for a little ol' us.
A little ol' us.
All right, everyone.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. So if you're not following Randy yet, go ahead and give him a follow over on Instagram at Randy Quartieri. Check out his videos on the YouTube. And keep your eyes out for his website because he does not and will not disappoint.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Breaking Western Podcast. We'll come back at you next week with another influencer or influential person of the
season two finale.
Oh, finale next week. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll see y'all then.